I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. Towards the end of the new film, Selfless, Ryan Reynolds, playing a fabulously wealthy real estate mogul whose consciousness has been placed into the body of Ryan Reynolds, corners the head of the evil corporation that performed the mind swap and calls him psychotic. It's the moment that most makes sense in the movie, because the only way a film can justify the kind of boneheaded behavior exhibited by this particular character, played by Matthew Good, is by labeling him crazy. In fact, the label needs to be applied to the entire corporation this guy runs, an operation whose bizarre business philosophy starts with lying to its affluent and presumably savvy clientele about the provenance of their spanking new bodies, which are not the lab-grown blanks they're supposed to be, but real people so financially desperate with Ryan Reynolds' buff physique, mind, that they're willing to sell themselves to get out of their predicaments. That business philosophy then goes on to treat the brain swap procedure as somehow more secret than nuclear launch codes, so secret that clients are forced to take on new identities. Are people, even rich ones, that desperate for immortality? And so secret that this company, even infused with wads of cash from its well-heeled buyers, somehow finds it financially feasible to deploy an entire undercover army of security people and operatives on each and every client, presumably for life, on the off chance that one of them will have a change of heart and give the game away, and then reacting to any breach of security through the low-profile strategy of torching, literally, everything and everyone the client has come in contact with. By the way, with flamethrowers that for some reason are stored in the control room of their mind transfer facility. Honestly, it'd be more fascinating to see the story of this corporation's devolution. The level of compromise and self-deception involved in going from ambitious medical procedure to a company so evil that it sets a new paradigm for evil movie corporations has to be epic. We don't get that story, sadly. The story we do get, in which Ben Kingsley turns into Ryan Reynolds and then has to seek redemption by helping out the widow of his new body, played by Natalie Martinez, and her young daughter, isn't anything particularly remarkable. It is directed by Tarsem Singh, so everything looks great, particularly during the post-operation, pre-reckoning moments when Reynolds gets to live the good life. There are some cool camera moves and a car chase with a few neat surprises in it, but the notion of this corporation insinuating itself inextricably into its clients' lives is never played up enough to make the paranoia truly delicious. Reynolds never convinces as an aged soul in a 20-something's body, and Kingsley isn't particularly successful in setting up how the person he's playing will morph into Reynolds. And the really wretched attempt at a Brooklyn accent doesn't help. The film is classy-looking and dumb at base. And, by the way, the presentation you've seen of that title as self/less is, not surprisingly, point/less. So, let's stop talking about that and make a note of two more interesting films, both Asian, one that opened last weekend, one that's opening this weekend. At first blush, the Japanese film Jellyfish Eyes looks like someone tried to develop the ultimate family film while on a massive coke bender. The screenplay is an epic mashup of E.T., Pokemon, and the giant rubber monster films known as kaiju. The effects are elaborate, but also a little cheesy. There are plenty of explosions and energy beams and battle sequences, and the children who are the main cast are all adorable. But the director is actually Japanese artist Takashi Murakami, whose style, which he calls super flat, is meant to suggest a cross-fertilization between Japanese high and popular cultures, and as a result, you don't have to dig too deep to find undercurrents not usually present in commercial family fare, primarily among them that the events depicted take place in the aftermath of the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Murakami considers himself a disciple of Jeff Koons, so I guess some caution should be exercised. But the film plays so successfully with the blurring of lines between mainstream entertainment and delirious satire that it's hard not to enjoy the onslaught. Jellyfish Eyes is the film Jurassic World should have been. The other film, the one that's opening this weekend, isn't really science fiction or fantasy, but it's just too good not to make note of. The Korean film A Hard Day is the kind of twisted noir that that country has staked a claim to over the past few years, but pushed to the nth level. It concerns a corrupt homicide detective who accidentally runs over an innocent victim on the night of his mother's funeral, and in attempting to hide the crime, opens up a whole mess of trouble for himself that eventually involves drug running, nocturnal grave robbing, and cops even more corrupt than he is. It's only the second film directed by Kim Jong-un, but man, is it assured and suspenseful and violent and frequently very funny. I try not to make these reviews sound like shopper's guides. I don't think that's what film criticism should be, but I dug this film so much I'll make an exception in this case. If you love Korean noir, or just film, frankly, A Hard Day is a thing you need to see. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my Mighty Movie Podcast website, so check out what you missed by going to MightyMoviePodcast.com.